Back now with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiatakis. And now to a special kind of immigration that has to do specifically with real estate. And I'm joined now by KCRW reporter Anna Scott, who's out in downtown LA at the moment in the heart of the city's sports and entertainment district. Hi, Anna.
Hey, yeah. So I'm right across the street from LA Live, surrounded here by tall buildings right underneath a digital billboard. It's a very good place to talk about real estate development.
Well, yeah, and that's indeed what we're talking about today, real estate development and something known, you told me this off air, something called a golden visa. Anna, what is a golden visa?
Yeah, well, okay, I'm going to set the scene here for you, which will then help explain what that is. But picture that you're standing here with me for a minute. You're standing right in front of a hotel. It's a modern-looking, sleek, beige hotel, 20-something stories. It opened about 5 years ago. Now, one thing that you can't see just standing here is the big pool of investors who paid to build this hotel. But there were about 360 of them, all from countries outside the U.S. This is one of dozens of projects here in L.A., and there are many more around the country, that was financed through something called the EB-5 Immigrant Investor Program. It's been around for a while, about three decades, and every year it provides green cards to a limited number of foreigners who invest at least $500,000 in some kind of American venture.
$500,000. That's like $500,000. So basically you're buying a green card.
Well, yes. They do call it the golden visa, but it's not in exchange for nothing. The idea with it is to trade foreign capital for American jobs. So the investments have to go into projects that are expected to create a certain number of jobs, at least 10 jobs. So the idea is to stimulate the economy, create jobs, and create a win-win kind of a situation.
Does it have to be a real estate development, though? Do these folks have to, like, invest in a hotel in downtown L.A.?
No, they don't. It can really be almost anything, that as long as it meets that job threshold. But real estate is where most of the money ends up. Partly that's because it's familiar and seems somewhat safe to a lot of investors. And partly because real estate developers have courted EB-5 investors, especially since 2008, when a lot of traditional bank financing dried up.
All right. So why are we talking about EB-5 now? Are there changes coming to it?
Oh, how did you guess? Yes, the EB-5 program is about to change. In 1 week, the federal agency that oversees it, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, plans to raise the minimum investment from $500,000 to $900,000.
Wow, that's a big increase. That's almost doubling it, right?
Yeah, it's about an 80% increase. And even for a program that favors the wealthy, that's a big difference.
I'm well aware that I'm from a family that has more resources than most.
Ishan Khanna is 26 years old and originally from New Delhi. He became an EB-5 investor a few years ago.
So both my parents are educated in the United States. My mom now does college counseling for kids who want to get into colleges all around the world. My father owns an IT business. You know, both of them knew the value of the U.S. education, but they ended up coming back to India.
Khanna came here for college too, to Loyola Marymount University in LA. He decided to stay in the States after graduation.
I looked at all my different options. I actually sat down with my would-be later on immigration attorneys and, you know, looked at all the different options that I had,
including various types of work visas. But he worried about what would happen if he got laid off or seriously sick. He liked that EB-5 offered the security of permanent residency.
So I'm lucky that a lot of the money that I used for my investment came from my parents.
With their help, Khanna invested in building a new Four Seasons hotel in Puerto Rico. And he learned so much about EB-5 in the process, he now works finding other Indian investors for the company that helped put his deal together. But he himself probably couldn't have afforded the new $900,000 minimum.
I have a younger sister. She studied in the U.S. as well. My parents had to quite literally choose which child to do it for. I'm sure if they had the ability to do it for both, they would have done it then and there.
I think we'll still see a fair number of people willing to put that money down.
Stephen Yale Lair teaches immigration law at Cornell University. He predicts in the long run there will always be demand for this kind of visa. But in the short term, the new higher cost could lead more foreign investors to turn away from the U.S. to other countries with similar programs.
Obviously, countries like to see money coming in if it's going to create jobs, and so the United States is competing with these other countries.
The reason for the increase is pretty dry. It's an adjustment for inflation, but it's part of a bigger effort to modernize and overhaul the EB-5 program. To that end, it's not the only change taking effect this month. On top of the new cost, the federal government also plans to start exercising more oversight of projects soliciting investments. That's partly to prevent would-be investors from getting swindled into bogus deals, which has been a problem in the past. Senator Chuck Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, is one lawmaker who's pushed to reform the program.
It's cracking down on corruption, and it's also ensuring investments go to places that need them the most.
When Senator Grassley says places that need investment most, he's referring to the fact that EB-5 was originally designed to help the economies of rural and high unemployment areas. In fact, those who invest outside those places are technically supposed to pay a higher minimum, $1 million under the current rules.
But pretty much no one does a $1 million deal, because why would you pay twice as much for something you can get for half off?
Brad Stedham is president of EB-5 United, a company that manages financing for deals funded through the program, the same one Ishan Khanna works for. Until now, the federal government has allowed so much latitude in defining high unemployment areas, even developments in upscale parts of Los Angeles or in Manhattan can qualify. The new rules tighten up those standards. And that could make projects in booming urban centers less appealing. Stedham says that more than other kinds of investors, people in EB-5 are reluctant to pay more than they absolutely have to because their main goal isn't to turn a profit.
We say an EB-5 investor wants five things. They want a green card, they want a green card, they want a green card, then they want their money back, and then if I get some return, great.
That's KCRW's Anna Scott reporting. And Anna, by the way, is connected with us once again in downtown Los Angeles. Where are you now, Anna?
Well, I am now standing in front of the Metropolis Project. This is the huge project that you can see from the 110 freeway. I'm standing between three big towers with luxury condos and a hotel inside.
The Metropolis Towers, I think I've seen those on the side of the 110. Is that another project that's partly funded through EB-5?
Well, you got it. Yes, yes. This project was by the developer Greenland, which is primarily based in China, and relied on a lot of Chinese investment, actually, for its EB-5 program. And the new rules are coming this month. Things are going to get more expensive. They're going to crack down on where you can pay that lower minimum amount. We will see how that impacts projects, you know, like this in booming urban centers. But for now, the EB-5 program remains really popular because investors have lined up in recent months to enroll before those new rules kick in.
All right. KCRW reporter Anna Scott reporting today from downtown Los Angeles. Anna, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.